see everyone here this morning. We appreciate your presence and being here with us. I invite you to take out your New Testaments, and we will engage for just a few moments with study from the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." God expects those who become new with Him in Christ, those who are born again, to progress from that point. He expects them to grow into mature Christians, people capable of being His faithful servant. To me, that would mean that spiritual growth should then be one of the primary concerns for those of us that are Christians. We became a Christian for a reason. Somebody opened up for us the truth of God's Word. We desired to have a relationship with God, not only in this life, but an overwhelming desire to have a relationship with God which would extend into eternity. Understanding that, then, when He says, I want you to grow, this life you have here on this earth is a period of preparation where you can work and on yourself, and you can develop the type of person that you are to make it so that you would be fit to spend eternity with me. But that then becomes a very serious matter. A lot of times when we talk about heaven, we talk about hell, people talk about how unjust and unloving it would be for God to send anyone to hell. And yet, the more I think about it, the more I come to understand that God lets us make that choice. And that what hell is, it's a place that God has prepared for people who have absolutely no desire to have anything to do with Him, to be free to that relationship or that lack of relationship for all eternity. And then on the other hand, for those who say, I love the Lord and I want to spend eternity with Him, this world gives us the opportunity to work on the things that would mean that if you develop these things in your life, then you will find heaven to be a joyous place, and you will indeed want to be there for all eternity. And so I think one of the great challenges that faces me as an individual, and perhaps you, is that disconnect. Oh, I want to go to heaven when I die. But do I really? Because if I really did, would the things that so often distract me and create problems for me, would I not be working harder to rid my life of those things? If I have trouble wanting to spend 1 or 2 or 4 hours a week in the presence of God with those who want to worship and praise Him, do I really think I have prepared myself for day and night for eternity to be with such folks and to be in God's presence forever? And so when you read a passage like this that says, as newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word so that you may grow by it in respect to salvation, it's something that causes us to pause and to think. The Apostle Paul shared Peter's concern for the need for Christians to grow. And as you see on the initial slide, on the title slide, we're going to look at a passage that Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, where in Paul writing to the church at Colossae expresses this very same concern for them, that they grow. And he actually expresses it in the form of a prayer. So in this lesson, we want to examine what Paul says about this to the church at Colossae concerning the process of spiritual growth. So if you have your New Testaments, with you, and hopefully you've noticed that we're going to read Colossians 1, 9 through 12. If you've turned there, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible this morning. And it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." I believe that what Paul really expresses in this prayer is the fact that growth in the Christian is a process. And it's a process that is a circular process. And it's like running the laps on a track in a race. If you're running a race of any distance, the track is not the length of the race. And so you may have to run it two times, or you may have to run it four times, or you may have to run it 20 times, or for some races much more than that. And so what the process is you start at the starting line and you progress around the track, and when you get to the finish line, you're not finished. You start the next lap. And I really believe that that's what is pictured for us by the Apostle Paul in this prayer, as it has to do with his prayer to the church at Colossae that they will continue to grow in the service of the Lord. And so when we look at this, he says to them, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And so, as you look at this, to be filled, filled is one of those words that you can't be more filled. If something's full, it's full. If you would take a container, a glass, for instance, and you would fill it full, what that means is if you would take an eyedropper and drop one more drop of the liquid in there, now it starts coming over the edge. And so he says, I want you filled with the knowledge of His will. I want you to be full. And so seeking knowledge is a fundamental responsibility that a Christian has if a Christian is going to grow. And it's just not knowledge in general. It's not the knowledge of this world. While we need that in our day-to-day activities, we need to understand that being a great historian does not mean that you are full of the knowledge of God. That being a great engineer does not mean that you're full of the knowledge of God. The knowledge that Paul tells the Colossians they need to seek is God's knowledge. The knowledge of God's will. So as we look like in Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul tells the Romans, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If you want to grow in your strength of your faith and in your relationship with God, you do that by listening to what God says. You have an interest in hearing His word. To the younger Christian Timothy, he tells him in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to be diligent. And you know the Old King James Bible translates that word study. That's the way most of us older folks learned that passage first. Study to show yourself approved. But that word is diligence. Apply yourself to it. Persist in it. To present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. If you're going to get knowledge in any field, that's going to take some effort. If you're going to get the knowledge of the faith, if you're going to know what God has revealed for you and for us, you don't get that by osmosis. It doesn't just happen by sitting your Bible on your coffee table and while you're there watching television or reading something else, or as some of us do, just sit because we can't think of what we really need to be doing. Our minds have already been fried for the day, so we're just sitting there, maybe looking at the birds play outside. You know, and there's not a process by just having this Bible sitting there that something mystically and magically happens, and the information that's contained in that kind of floats through the atmosphere and goes from this book into your brain. Doesn't work that way. Let me go on to say that Paul is not just talking about gaining the factual knowledge of Scripture. You know, knowing the content of the Bible can be simply an academic pursuit. There are people who are Bible students because that's a choice of academia, that they have chosen to become expert in that as compared to some other academic discipline. Knowing the facts just to be able to throw them up to people when it's a convenient weapon to use is not necessarily seeking the knowledge of Scripture. Paul had more than that in mind. He wanted them to have a knowledge of what God's will for them was in their lives. Seeking God's instruction so that their lives could become what it is. And when you look at the words of his prayer, he says, I want you to seek this knowledge so that two things result: spiritual wisdom and an understanding from a spiritual point of what it is that God would have you to know. So this knowledge that Paul talks about and starts with in this prayer is that he wants the Colossians to develop spiritually. You know, in our physical world, there are metabolic disorders of the physical body that cause some people not to grow. They don't grow as large as other people. They don't develop. Even if plenty of food is taken in, it doesn't result in them growing and strengthening. Now, you can look at me and see that my body's metabolic functions aren't that way. If I take food in, it certainly does appear somewhere on my frame. But, you know, and sometimes I think I can just kind of like pass by the bakery and that mystical process happens. But I know that I'm much more diligent about the physical food and being attracted to it sometimes than I am to the subject of our lesson, spiritual food. But we would recognize if we had a child or a mate or a loved one or just a friend, a coworker, or a neighbor, if they were having one of these disorders, if they had a cancer or they had some other genetic disorder that caused their body not to process the food properly and not to grow, or in some cases of illness actually be going the other way. It's destroying what they did have. We would recognize that and say, that's not normal. There is something wrong. And similarly, copious amounts of Scripture can be memorized, but development will be slow until the Christian learns to make the proper spiritual application and until he understands what it is that the Lord is saying to him. Because there's a purpose for taking in that knowledge. And that's what Paul gets to next. He says, I pray that they will gain this knowledge so that they can make the spiritual wisdom and understanding and be able to make the application so that they would be able to walk worthy of the Lord. Paul had an immediate practical result in mind. They need this knowledge so that they'll know how to live in order to please God. The objective of seeking spiritual knowledge and the wisdom to understand it and apply it has an objective. The objective is that in my personal life, I apply that so that I become the kind of person God would want me to be. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." In Colossians 2 and verse 6, he says, "Therefore as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Needs to be reflected in a way of life. The transformation should take place in the Christian's life. In Ephesians 5, he says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to God, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Becoming a child of God, we learn what God wants, and it makes the changes in our life. A couple of weeks ago, when Debbie and I were on our way over here, we were listening to bluegrass on the radio in the car, and a bluegrass song came on, and the gist of the song was, "If you were arrested for being a Christian, would the judge have to dismiss the case for lack of evidence?" Does our life live up to our claim? Have we transformed, or are we transforming? Can we see the difference? Because the knowledge needs to be applied, Paul says, so that you learn how you ought to live. And then the third part of the prayer is that when you do that, when you get the knowledge, when you learn how to walk, then you learn how, and the result is you bear fruit. Verse 10. When our lives are lived in a worthy manner, based upon the will of God being a part of who we are, then the fruit will be evident. Mature, healthy organisms are capable of bearing fruit. Children, saplings, do not bear fruit. It's not yet time. Diseased organisms do not bear fruit. And when they don't bear fruit, then their value is diminished. We've got a peach tree in our backyard that Debbie's saying we need to cut that down. Just a couple of years ago, got several bushels off of it. And then the last couple of years, just as it's budded out, we've had a freeze and whatever. And this last one, it never even leafed out this summer. It got just nipped in the bud. And the question is it ever going to bear fruit again? Well, you might decide to give it another year, but ultimately the time will come when you say, that tree's dead. It's not bearing any more fruit. It's time to get it out of the garden. And so things that are mature and healthy fulfill their design. They bear fruit. And the scripture is very clear that fruit is essential in the life of a Christian. To the Galatian brethren, Paul said in Galatians 5, beginning of verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And you see the implication of what Paul's saying? If you live by the Spirit and you walk by the Spirit, you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus affirmed this in his own personal teaching. Luke 8 and verse 8. A very famous story. One of his parables. Another seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Listen to me, what Jesus is saying. Do you recognize this everyday truth? You recognize that as being from the parable of the sower, or as some people call it, of the soils, where Jesus talked about one going out and sowing the seed and it fell into different kinds of ground, and some of it wouldn't grow at all, and some of it started to grow but was killed off. And he, as he gets to the parable, he talks about this seed that falls in good soil, and it grows and it produces a crop. But then in verse 15 of Luke 8, when he's explaining the meaning of that parable to his disciples, he said, "But the seed that fell in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." So they are the ones who have taken the knowledge seriously, made application in their life, and that life changes. And you see the kinds of things that Paul talked about to the Galatians in their lives. Now, I think it's a very interesting thing that oftentimes when we talk about fruit bearing, when preachers preach on it, when it's talked about in Bible class, so often the discussion goes to personal work and to personal evangelism and spreading the gospel. And very often you would look at Luke 8 and verse 15 and say, you know, these people, they have created 100-fold. They've gone out and converted lots of other people. What I'm about to say here is not to discourage personal evangelism, but I think that sometimes we get the cart before the horse. It's really hard to convince people that they ought to become Christians if you're what they see as a Christian and you don't have these things in your life. We need to understand that the first call of Christianity is to make ourselves what Christ ought to be. And that the fruit that he was talking about was the fruit of an individual becoming Christ-like in his life. When we do that, evangelism much more naturally happens. It becomes the extension of being the person that the Lord wants you to be. Because when you develop the character and the qualities that he wants you to be, right along with that will develop a concern for your fellow man and a concern for lost souls and a desire to bring other people to Christ. And when you try, they're more likely to see the value. Look at what Jesus Christ has done for that man or that woman. I need to think about that. And it empowers our evangelism. So please don't take that to mean that you shouldn't try to tell your neighbors about the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to understand that the first charge is let the word of God work on us. Let it make us what we need to be, so that we are fruitful Christians. And that fruit can be seen in our lives, the kind of people that we are, who we are. So the people, when whatever brings them into the door of the West Carrollton Church of Christ, when they leave, they say, man, those are good people. Those are the kind of people I would want to worship with. I would want my lives to be like their lives. It's obvious they've found something. That's where the Lord wants us to be. That's where Paul wanted the Colossians to be. And then the extension of that is he says that the result of that is your true knowledge has resulted in your strengthening. You're a stronger person than you used to be. And you're steadfast. God can count on you. The Lord can count on you. He knows you'll be there. You're patient. You're waiting on the Lord to do things in your life. And your life is joy. And interesting enough, when he gets there, what he says is, so that your knowledge will increase. And you know, this is not earth-shaking stuff, and I know it's not. We all understand in the secular world that the reason why you start out the kids in kindergarten and they start learning the things they learn in preschool and then in kindergarten and then in first grade and so forth, is that you've got to do that so that they are ready to learn more. And that you progress that all the way through. And that knowledge and application and growth means you're ready for more knowledge, additional application, and more growth. And that if you're a living being, that really is the process you are in every day of your life. Oh, I'm too old to learn anything. Well, I thought about that when we were on vacation this week because Debbie took a picture. I don't know whether it's one of them she posted on Facebook or not. But we were in the hotel room and we looked over and there was her mom and her dad, 89, 86, both on their iPads. They were like teenagers. They didn't want to talk to us. They were busy. And yet I've heard older people say, well, you know, I can't learn to use this stuff. But isn't that what life's all about? I bet everybody here, for the oldest people here, are now doing things that they wouldn't have done years ago. Because you continue to learn. Sometimes you find out, oh, this actually makes this easier. This makes this better. And you keep on going. Well, if we understand that about life, can we not appreciate that Paul says that's what being a Christian is all about too? You be concerned about showing the evidence of growth and stability. We should not be content to remain babies in Christ. And Paul has shown us here, if you want to grow, here's how you do it. And we should commit ourselves to making that cycle work in our own lives. That would be my encouragement to all of us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the beginning of that cycle is coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To recognize that the problem of sin needs a solution and that the only real solution is the one that God provided. That there's salvation in no other name under heaven than Jesus Christ. And submitting your life to Him, beginning to learn His ways. And if you're one of those people who say, well, you know, I can't do that because I don't know enough, I want you to listen to what we said this morning. The question is not what will you ultimately know, it's what do you know now? And what action does that require of you now? Then you keep growing. And then you keep knowing. And then you keep knowing more what to apply, and you keep bearing fruit. And that's the process. And in fact, it's a process that if you are truly dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will never stop in your entire life. But what you need to do is what you know you need to do now, which is give your life over to Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and being baptized in His name, and He will wash away your sin. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.